It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Dallas County District Attorney's Office has launched a criminal investigation into voter fraud allegations from Saturday's local elections. Officials say at least two Dallas City Council races may have been affected. Andy Chatham is a Dallas County Assistant District Attorney. He says his office decided to look into the issue after receiving dozens of complaints from voters since April.
People were getting ballots in the mail, and they thought that was strange because they had never received them. Some people just threw them away, figuring it was a mistake. And then other people complained when they showed up to vote in early voting, and their names had been removed from the eligibility to early vote because they had received a mail-in ballot.
The Dallas County Elections Department is examining more than 600 mail-in ballots, including several cast in District 6 in West Dallas. As of today, 40 ballots had already been thrown out. Chatham says it's not clear who's behind this or for which candidates the mail-in ballots have been cast. The voter fraud allegations have delayed the results in District 6, where the council race is tight. At the moment, incumbent Monica Alonso is in the lead, but a runoff is likely. Each day seems to bring news of America's continued racial division. Just last week, the officers who killed Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge were not charged, though the officer who killed Jordan Edwards in Balch Springs was. Today on Think, which aired this week from NPR headquarters in Washington, Chris Boyd talked with Georgetown sociology professor Michael Eric Dyson about the role white people play in conversations about race.
Why do you say Black Lives Matter? Why can't you say all of us? We matter too. We're white people. Look, Black Lives Matter too. Also, like yours matter. We're saying not that Black Lives Matter more. You know, if you go to the NFL and you say, you know, women's lives matter, and somebody goes, well, athletes' lives matter too. We know that. That's why rape culture prevails. That's why violence against women is somehow dismissed, or it used to be until recently in the NFL. So when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not trying to hurt the feelings of white people. Grow up. There's no fragility in blackness or female identity. There's no understanding of us. So what's interesting, we say to white people, you say, pull yourself up by your bootstrap. Be tough. Thicken your skin. We say to white America, do the same thing. Can you not acknowledge that your hurt feelings and your tears cannot be a reason to prevent us from dealing with the situation? So my point is that when it comes to involving ourselves with white brothers and sisters, hurt feelings or tears cannot be the predicate. Fragility, vulnerability. Oh my God, I'll run if you say that. Then we have to take the risk that white people will grow up finally, that other white people will say to white people, look, stop it. You know that you shouldn't do that.
Michael Eric Dyson is the author of Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Think airs all this week from NPR headquarters in Washington. Follow along on social media during the show and all week long with the hashtag ThinkNDC. There's a looming fight at the state legislature in Austin, the state's budget for the next 2 years. The Texas House version of the budget pulls $2.5 billion from the state's savings account, also known as the Rainy Day Fund. Right now, there's more than $10 billion in the fund. The state Senate, though, says it does not want to use that money. But how did all that money get in the Rainy Day Fund in the first place? As part of our Texas Decide series, where we've been answering your questions about the legislature, we asked KUT's Matt Largy to explain.
First, Rainy Day Fund 101.
It's basically set up to keep the bumps out of, you know, what's a normally bumpy economy.
That's Ross Ramsey, the managing editor at the Texas Tribune.
Well, if you had an automatic deduction from your paycheck so that, you know, while you were employed, you know, a dime from every dollar or something like that automatically went into your savings account and you didn't even think about it, and that money built up and you had sort of an agreement with yourself not to use it unless you lost your job or something, you know, financially tragic happened in your life, that would be kind of an equivalent to a rainy day fund.
So that's the fund in a nutshell. It's money the state has already earned, but smartly socked away for a rainy day. So why did lawmakers come up with this in the first place? For that, we called up Billy Hamilton.
This is Billy Hamilton.
Hi, Mr. Hamilton. It's Matt Largy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know.
Hamilton is a former state finance official and all-around smart guy. I went to him for the juicy details on why the fund was set up in 1987.
Well, not to make it more boring than it is, but you really have to go back to the late 70s.
Ah, the late 70s. Times were good. Disco was dying. TV's Dallas was coming into its own. And oil prices were through the roof. Thanks to the Iranian Revolution and a few other factors, oil prices hit record highs in 1979. That meant record oil and natural gas tax collections for the state of Texas. And the legislature? You bet they spent it. Yep, everything was great.
Then in 1982-83, oil prices collapsed.
That left the state budget in kind of a predicament. Just like now, lawmakers didn't have the money to continue paying for services. Oil prices did eventually go up again, and by 1987, there was this one guy who learned a lesson from the collapse. This one guy who thought, maybe, just maybe, we could protect ourselves from future economic shocks.
And who is he again?
Stan Schleter, S-C-H-L-U-E-T-E-R.
State Representative Stan Schleter had the notion that you could take some of the tax money you collect in good times and use it during bad times.
You know, like squirrels, if you put the nuts away in good times, then you'll have them when times are bad.
Schleter's plan would use oil and natural gas tax collections in 1987 as kind of a benchmark. In future years, anything the state collected above that 1987 amount would get split two ways. Lawmakers could use 25% of it right away, and 75% of it would go into the Economic Stabilization Fund. That's the official name for the Rainy Day Fund. But Hamilton says the Rainy Day Fund wasn't just designed as a savings account. It was also designed to be a check on spending. You put the extra money into a savings account so you can't run out and buy a big screen TV and a yacht in the good times. You know, you kind of have to admire how elegantly the whole thing was set up.
You know, I think you're right. I think he knew what he was trying to achieve. And I mean, it really is a very clear idea.
Now, whether or not this is a rainy day is up to state lawmakers, but just like the 80s, maybe the state's current fiscal problems will lead to new solutions in the future. In Austin, I'm Matt Largie.
And finally, remembering Bob Wilson. He brought Jim Lehrer and Monty Python to North Texas television audiences while leading KERA during its early years. Wilson died Friday. He was 75. Wilson was just 26 years old when his mentor and boss, Ralph Rogers, gave him the reins at KERA in the late 60s. KERA's Lee Cullum talked with Bob Wilson for a documentary that aired in 2011.
Bob Wilson, when you took over at KERA, it was a tiny station with no programming to speak of and no prospects, no nothing. How did Ralph Rogers ever persuade you to take this job?
Well, at that time, I was working for him and as kind of a gopher. And,
the assistant to the president.
Assistant to the president. And he was interested in resurrecting this station and making it into something. So he said, why don't you work with me as I'm doing that? And the station, as you know, in those days wasn't anything like this. And so he said, let's go to work. And so we began and started thinking about it. And I had become friends with Jim Lehrer. I thought one of the things we could do was to have Jim come on every week or so. And so he started to do that, and that's when things began.
Jim Lehrer would eventually host Newsroom on KERA-TV, and he would go on to host the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour on PBS. You can watch the entire documentary about Bob Wilson at KERANews.org. KERA-TV will air the half-hour special on Friday night at 7:30 and Sunday morning at 10:30. Partly cloudy skies expected later this evening with a low around 64. Tomorrow should be partly sunny with a high near 84, and tomorrow night partly cloudy, low around 68. It's currently 83 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 79 in Tyler, 82 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.